Scripture reading is 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 5. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead.
What a power passage. There are a lot of those in God's Word, and this is one of them. Because what Peter does here, folks, is he gives us a foundation to not only have the knowledge that God has saved us, but the power to live that Christian life. Now, I want us to look at some of those things this morning. What Peter starts off with is he starts off by reminding us that Jesus was victorious and is victorious over sin. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to listen very carefully, because if you don't, and listen not only to the statement that I'm going to make, but listen to the explanation of it. Because Jesus did not come to save us from the fires of hell. Now, you say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, that's the reason why I said we need to listen real careful. Jesus did not come into the world to save us from hell. What he came into the world for was to save us from sin. Whenever the angel announced that Mary would have a son in Matthew 1 and verse 21, he said, "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Deliverance from hell is a byproduct of Jesus saving us from sin. You say, well, you know, that sounds like the same thing to me. And yes and no. Because, you see, if our concept of Jesus coming was to just save us from hell, but we go on living without a change in our life, all we've done is invested in fire insurance. And that's not what salvation is. Salvation is not just an investment in fire insurance. It is a way of life. It is the essence of salvation. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And as a result of that, we don't have to spend eternity paying for those sins in a devil's hell, but can be and are given a wonderful and blessed reward with living with God and with the Master forever. I love the old song that reminds us, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed." Now watch this right here. "Be of sin a double cure." Be of sin a double cure. "Cleanse me from its guilt and power." What is this double cure? Well, it tells us here it is being saved, delivered from our sins, but it is also being delivered from the power of sin. Do we have that double cure? And that's what Peter is trying to help us to understand. in this short passage of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Peter wants us to know that Jesus died to, first of all, to release us from the control of sin. Peter says here in verse 1, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has been cleansed from sin. In this verse, Paul points out two tremendous Bible doctrinal truths. Number one, he points out to us that Jesus died for us. That's the doctrine of substitution. And he also points out here that we have died with Christ. That is the doctrine of identification. The doctrine of substitution, Jesus died for us. The doctrine of identification is that we have died for or with the Master. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for us. The cross had our name on it. Jesus did not have sin. Nor did he have to die for his sins. He died for our sins. Peter says that Jesus suffered in his body. His death upon the cross was a substitutional death. He died for you. You belonged on the cross. I belonged on the cross, but Jesus was the one that went to the cross. Peter says, he who has suffered in the body is done with sin. When Jesus died on the cross, and that Greek word, done with sin, means that it's completed, it's finished. You remember whenever Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is what? Finished. That meant that payment was done. Nobody has to die again. Payment for sin is done. It's been made. It's been paid. As the writer of Hebrews tells us, there will be no more sacrifice for sin. If we don't accept this, there's nothing else. God's not going to say, well, you didn't quite want to accept this way, maybe a little bit too hard. I understand. I completely understand. I sent my son down there to die for you, but I understand it. I'll make you another way. That's not going to happen. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and nobody comes to the Father except by me. It's finished. It's done. That's the doctrine of substitution. He died, so you don't have to. But that also leads us to yet another thought, and that is that not only did he die for us, but that we die with him. Look what Peter says. Since Christ suffered in the body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Two awesome, awesome truths right here. Number one, Peter says, arm yourself. We've got an army. Whenever we die with Jesus, one of the things that he does is he arms us. Paul talks about the armor of salvation. Put on the whole armor of salvation. But not only do we have an armor to wear, we got a whole army. Heaven's army is in our corner, man. The devil is powerful. I know that. I've preached that. I've talked about that. J.P. and his message on Wednesday night talked about that. Man, he's a roaring lion, going about whom he may devour. He's powerful. He is very powerful. But whenever he's got a rocket launcher, God has given us a whole arsenal of Scud missiles, man. We are in control. We've got the army. Here's what John says about it, and here's how he says it. You are from God, little children, and have overcome the world. Because greater, listen to me, because greater, listen now, greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. We've got an army. And Peter's saying it. He says, arm yourselves with what? This same attitude. What are you talking about, the same attitude? He's just got through saying that Jesus died for you. Now he's saying, you be willing to die with Jesus. You be willing to die to sin. And throughout Paul's writings, he makes this known to us. He talks about, like in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. We're not going to be put up on the cross. Jesus had already done that. But Paul tells us that we need to die with Jesus. And he said, I am crucified with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is saying that that happens when we believe his great truth, when we repent of our sins, when we confess that he is the Christ, and when we are baptized for the remission of our sins. That in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, we are baptized with Christ. We are baptized, here it is, this crucifixion, into his death. That like as Christ was buried and raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should be raised to walk in newness of life. That's the doctrine of identification. The doctrine of substitution was Jesus died for us. The doctrine of identification is we die with him. Buried, just like Christ was buried. But he in a tomb, we in a, have you heard preachers say this all your life? Watery grave of baptism. You've heard that forever. We are buried in a grave of water, raised in likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection, to what Paul says in Romans 6 as newness of life. And in this newness of life in Romans 6, there are three things that he wants us to remember. Number one, in verses 6 and 7, he uses the word know. Know this. Know this. Know that the old man is crucified. The old you is dead. You are a new creature. The old Larry was crucified with Jesus. But as Paul said in that Romans and Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Now watch this. Nevertheless, I live. It's not an actual death. It's a spiritual death. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what happens? But Christ lives in me. And Paul says in Romans 6, you need to know this. Don't, brethren, just wonder about it. You need to know it, and it's important that you know it. And he goes on to say that you can count on it. In verses 11 and 12 of Romans 6, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Count yourself dead. What does that word count mean? That's a bookkeeping word in the Greek language. And it literally means you can take it to the bank. You can bank on it. Know it. And bank on it, he says. Because the third word is offer. In Romans 6 verses 13 and 14. Which says, we offer ourselves to God as an instrument of righteousness, as people brought from death to life. Know it, bank it, but live it. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto his will. He said, which is your, watch it now, reasonable service. Romans 12, verses 2. Your reasonable service. So what are the two great doctrines that Paul wants us, that Peter wants us to see here? He wants us to know that Jesus died for us. And what a wonderful and marvelous sacrifice that was. That's the reason why that every Lord's Day we assemble around this table so we won't ever forget it. Jesus died for us. That's a great doctrine. That's the greatest truth in the world. And he wants us to know that we have died with him. But then also Peter points out here, another wonderful, wonderful thing. He says that Jesus has died to release us from the corruption of sin. Paul says that one that's set free does not live the rest of his life in a human nature, but rather in a spiritual nature, doing the will of God. And he contrasts here what pagans do. We don't live like the world does anymore. We have died to sin, and so we're going to be different. We're not going to let sin rule in our lives anymore. And he describes these kinds of lives. He says that it's a wasted life. He says, for the time has already passed and is sufficient for you to know to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued the course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, the abominable idolatries. That's a wasted life, Paul said. And those of you who have come to Christ, you don't live that kind of life anymore. That's the life that the world lives. He said it's a wicked life. It's a life that's committed to sin. And that's not what you want anymore. You don't want to follow the world. Even though the world wants you to follow, you don't follow it anymore. He uses the word here, he uses the word lasciviousness in some of the translation. The word that's used there, sensual, it means the same thing. It means sin that's unashamed. Jeremiah was talking about Israel, and he talked about them and their sins, and he says, you don't blush anymore. Does that sound like the world we live in? Doesn't that sound like the world we live in? What makes us blush anymore? Man, I grew up in a time when if you said the word sex, you just got red. And I'm probably getting red right now. Hey, that's just because of the way I grew up. But now it's everywhere. It's no problem. Our kids see it. Our kids read it. Our kids watch it. It's everywhere. It's all around us. What makes us blush anymore? Nothing. Because we're living in a world, a sensual, lascivious world, that anything goes. Man, anything goes. I better not even get started on all of that. But it just breaks my heart that even our little kids are being so exposed to sin in their lives that even in our grade schools, anything goes for some of these kids. It's heart-wrenching. It's heartbreaking. Because we live in a world where sin and Satan has made it so wicked that we have got to understand and know that we cannot be a part of that. We just can't. And that's the next point that he makes. He says it's a warped life. They think it is a strange thing because we don't run with them, that we don't go along with this. He says that we do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation. They wonder, why in the world? Man, we are having the best time of our life. Why are you not doing this? The world doesn't understand that they're going to hell. But they're wondering why you don't come along and run along with them. People, by your very presence here this morning, you have stated, I am different. I am not going to let you sin, you this world, you the devil, rule and run my life. But the world wonders, why in the world are you like that? We're the ones having fun. Oh, dude, the devil sold that bill of goods to the prodigal son. We got a perfect picture. He sold that to him, and he bought it. He bought it and he left home and he went into the far country of sin, and son, he had himself a high old time. But you know the story. And he wound up in a hog pen. And the only place that he really wanted to be was back home. Back home. Don't let the pressure, kid, listen to me. Son, I've been down that road. Listen, old preach knows what he's talking about. It's a dead end street. It's a hog pen. Don't let them, devil, sell you that bill of goods. It'll end up exactly the same. And the world looks around and says, I can't understand. How come they're not going with us? I don't understand why you don't go to this party with us. I don't understand why you're not doing this. Everybody else is doing this, and I love you, and I don't know why you're not doing this. They don't understand that you are different. And then Jesus died to release us from the condemnation of sin. Peter says that just what we've been talking about. Who shall give an account to him who will judge the living and the dead? There is a day of reckoning coming. And everybody will stand before God and we're going to give an account of what we've done. It's tough, man. I know it is. The Christian life is not easy. I know it. I know it. But what I am trying to say is it is worth it. Because not only will there be a day of reckoning coming, there's also a day of reward. And heaven can be ours. And that's what Peter's trying to say. It's a simple message. And over we can read it. Jesus came to die for us so that we could die with him. So sin wouldn't control us any longer. And we don't have to live with the consequences of sin and the condemnation of sin, because we have escaped the pollutions of this world. I would love to be able to give you the greatest gift possible. I'd love to give you this morning, if you have never been baptized into Christ, I'd love to give you through my master and for my master the hope of eternal life. Or if you've turned loose of it and this world's been tool-luring and it's pulled on you and pulled on you till it's finally got you back into the world. And you're just kind of hoping, maybe if you go to church enough, that maybe that fire insurance will keep you out of hell. But it won't if you're living like the world lives. Maybe we can help you come back home. Don't stay in that old hog pen. Just come back home. Will you come while together we stand and sing?